Up verse. Well, pick it up at 9. And of course, you can see the number 13 is prevalent there. Okie dokie, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to concentrate on your words. And I pray that we might, as we read your words, know a little bit more about the future, what's going on, and how everything in this country is definitely coming to a close. It sure seems like it. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you in any time, in any age, in any situation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, 13, I think I've run several 13s. Get down to 13:13, and there's one of the ways the Antichrist or the false prophet deceives people. But this is interesting. Old Mr. OJ didn't make it through this time around. And it says that he was convicted of armed robbery on September 13th. And he was found guilty on the 13th anniversary when he was acquitted of murder. 13 years later, same day. And the Las Vegas jury deliberated for 13 hours after a 13-day trial. So, well, no, that's not till December. 13 years, yeah. Yeah. Well, those things show up every once in a while. Okay, Revelation 13, verse 9. This is one of the two of the favorite sayings, or at least Jesus said this quite often. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You find that seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, and then other times throughout the Gospels, which is kind of a funny statement. If you got ears, make sure you hear. Well, what do you expect? Okay, the other comment he would so often say, have you not read? The Bible scholars of his day would ask him a Bible question. He said, well, haven't you read this? And haven't you read that? And haven't you read this? Okay, then verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here's the patience and faith of the saints. Now, it's interesting, he puts patience in there with verse 10 about somebody being executed after he murdered somebody. And you have patience. And the thing about justice, often it seems that the wheels of justice take forever. If you've ever watched any of the investigations that private citizens have studied 911, and if you compare that with the official government story, there is a gap in there as large as the Grand Canyon. There's been one of the first ones, you know, right off the bat came out, and then there's 911 in plain sight, then there's loose change 1, loose change 2, now there's one called 0. Has anybody seen that one? 0, 911 investigation. You watch these things and see all the evidence that's put out in that thing. There is some justice that needs to be served within this country. I mean, it is so obvious when you see the evidence that that was an inside job. It is downright pitiful. There is no place in this world that any building has fallen down because a plane hit it except that day. No place. And if you watch that zero, it should have about 10 or 11 parts. If you get on Google Video, you see it. And then if you see loose change 1 and loose change 2, this is like, remember several years ago when Nero started to fire and Rome burned, and who did he blame? You know, and then Adolf Hitler had that one fancy building, attacked or bombed, and then, of course, he was the instigator, but yet then who did they blame? And I don't think it's getting any better. And it's interesting that when is justice going to be taking place on all these things? That's up to the Lord. It took 13 years for OJ. That's just one person. Okay, and then I often think about, okay, does God take justice when Satan orders the death of people? Okay, when a flesh and blood kills flesh and blood, the Bible authorizes the death sentence. But does that go, it doesn't go with animals, does it? An animal kills an animal, there's not a death sentence for an animal, so is that true with the spirits? I don't know. We obviously know that Satan's going to get it in the end, but that's a whiles off yet. Okay, but even at that, patience. One of the ways we demonstrate our faith in the last days, if you would look in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 is a little widow woman that pestered a judge to rule in her favor. And Luke 18, verse 3, she said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And she just kept pestering and pestering and pestering this judge until the judge ruled in her favor. And he said in verse 5, verse 4, "And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" One of the ways you demonstrate your faith to God is you pray to him and allow him to take care of the justice. And often that seems to take forever. And when you see the inside stuff that's going on and the wickedness that goes on in society, for example, has Castro ever faced justice? He's been going since the 1950s, hasn't he? Didn't he order the death of a lot of people? He hadn't faced justice yet. You see, the Lord is patient, long-suffering. And so sometimes when the chickens come home to roost, they're going to come home to roost. But it certainly seems to take a long time. And so Revelation chapter 13, he throws in that statement. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. And so this is a born again, or, well, in this context would be probably Jewish people in a tribulation, okay, where they are praying to God for justice against the Antichrist. And of course, during that time period, it's going to seem to take forever, even though we know we're only dealing with a 3.5 or 7 year time period. Okay, then verse 11. Okay, verse 1 through 8 specifically, dealing with the Antichrist, called a beast that comes out of the sea, rises out of the sea. Now we have another type of beast in verse 11, and this one, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Okay, like a lamb, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's like a lamb. So this would be the false prophet. This would be the religious portion of the pagan trinity, where you have the Satan, you've got the Antichrist, and the false prophet. This is what's going to promote the Antichrist more than anything, and it is religion. When you get religion behind a dictator, and did you hear what John McCain just said the other day? He's always wanted to be a dictator. You know, and George Bush said in December of 2002, "This would work a lot better if it was a dictator, just as long as I was the dictator." You know, and oh well, that's how it goes. But what's really going to give it power is the religion behind it. Okay, a fellow named Sinclair Lewis said that when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in a flag carrying a cross. Now, that's true. Fascism is here. The Patriot Act. That's fascism. Clothed in a flag. You're a patriot if you sign the Patriot Act. No, you're a traitor. But they give them those names to throw people off. Okay? Wrapped in a flag, wearing a cross. You know, there's a big deal about, what's his name? The Southern Baptist guy running for president, Huckabee, where he had that cross, you know. Oh, it's a bookshelf. Oh, no, it's a cross. No, it's a bookshelf. You know, and everything. When you get Christianity, quote Christianity, pushed behind a movement, boy, you'll have a movement going on. I mean, it'll be killing people in the name of Jesus Christ. If you would look in John chapter 6, or 16, verse 2. The Catholic Church blessed many of the soldiers of the Nazis and Ustasi as they went out and killed or converted many Serbians to the faith. John 16, verse 2. Well, verse 1, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Now, context there, you see the synagogue, so we're probably dealing with the tribulation. Okay, but still the idea is when you get a religion. And many wars, if not start religious, either side's got to somehow to try to get the religious ground on the high side in order to justify them killing people. The Civil War, the North and the South, both sides were praying for victory. Both sides thought they had the high ground in that war. But if you look at the soldiers and read many of the accounts, the southern side was having revivals through the camps. And you read about Stonewall Jackson and all those men, how they were Christians, and you read their letters. Then you see the northern side where they were a bunch of heathen. And they were executing martial law. Okay, and there was not Christianity on the northern side. It was a bunch of Unitarians pushing it. Okay, and so either way you go, but when you get war, now Vietnam War, generally speaking, started off a religious war where you had Catholic Diem, and he was persecuting the Buddhists and the Buddhist priest, and the Buddhists of that day would, you know, the way they protest is kind of unique. You only get one chance at it. They would protest, they'd douse themselves with gasoline, get out in an open square someplace, and then torch themselves. Okay, and that was a Buddhist way of protesting the Catholic president, Diem, who was killed November 1st and JFK shot November 22nd. Okay, and they were protesting a persecution that the Catholic Church was doing, and the priests got involved with Diem, and they said that Mary has fled North Vietnam and went to South Vietnam. So the Catholics started coming down. Okay, and then Diem was taken out because I don't know if he was hurrying up too much, displease the Vatican. I don't know what the problem was. Okay, and then it turned into a political war. Avril Manhattan written several things about this, and he's investigated a lot of these things, and you can even get the secular books and find that there's a Buddhist burning himself alive in protest to the president of Vietnam, South Vietnam. The idea basically is when you get a religious leader of some type pushing an army, they can justify killing people. Okay, so he said he had two horns like a lamb and he spake as a dragon. He spake as a dragon. We often, when you think of a dragon, we think of, he's got to be, like forked tongue and everything or reptilian or whatever. Well, how does a dragon speak? Well, we have translations of satanic translation in the Bible. How does the dragon speak? Remember when Satan tempted Jesus Christ when he quoted scripture? How does a dragon speak? A dragon quotes the Bible, leaves out a word, adds a word, changes a word. That's how a dragon speaks. And he speaks as a lamb. Okay, and this is how you hoodwink a Christian. You know, how do you hoodwink a Christian? You act like a Christian, or what they think is a Christian. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, verse 12, 13, and 14 specifically gives the heart of the method to deceive Christians or religious people. Verse 12, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You got it. Okay. Well, there you got, and if you look through history, you've got a painting, you've got a statue, you've got an image, and it's given life by the dragon. So you get a portrait up here in Chicago and get a tear to come down, you get a bunch of people to come and look at it, and ooh and ah. Then you get a piece of toast where it's got the image of Mary in it. Now that's the recent one I saw, where Mary's face with a piece of toast. You know. Well, I had fish crackers. What's that mean? Don't mean anything. Okay, so how are they going to deceive Christians? They're going to do it through signs, wonders, and miracles. So what movement is that associated with? Okay, you've got two big movements in this world, starts with C. One is the Catholicism, who claims to trace their lineage back to the apostles. The other is charismatics, who claim to have apostolic signs. And so there's the group to be looking at. That's the group that's going to get the people to follow the Antichrist. The Rick Warren types, the Benny Hinn types. They're going to do it through miracles. People underestimate Satan. He can perform miracles. He can give life. He can produce children. And they overlook those things. How is Satan going to deceive them? If you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What exposes Satan and his methods is the King James Bible. So what do you got to do? You got to get rid of this book. You got to tame it down. You got to change words. You got to take the passage out where Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Where Jesus rebuked the devil in Luke chapter 4, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and you get an NIV, and that will be taken out. Then if you go to the King James Bible, you'll find Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Or, "O Lucifer, how art thou fallen from heaven?" Go to the NIV, and they take Lucifer out, and they put Morning Star in, confusing the issue. Morning Star, the bright and morning star, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the method Satan is going to use to deceive people? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Drop down to 13. "For such are false apostles." There's the key word, apostles. "Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So, what do the kids play with nowadays? The Transformers. And a Transformer is a machine, and you move the thing around, it becomes a man. Okay, in the dark realm, this is called shape-shifting, where they can shift from one being to another, back and forth. Satan transforms himself, verse 14, into an angel of light. Hence you have the light at the end of the tunnel. Or I saw the light. But specifically in verse 13, he mentions the word apostles twice. And so that is something very important. He is going to do something that apostles were able to do to try to deceive people. The apostolic signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay, Mark chapter 16, you have them listed there. Tongues are for a sign. Healings and miracles, the devil can heal. If you would look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, basically any Bible teacher will tell you that 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3 and 4 is the Antichrist. About any of them that can teach anything will show you that. Verse 8, you're dealing with that wicked. Okay, then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed. So we're dealing with the Antichrist. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So you have signs, wonders. Okay, and the word miracle's not here. Miracle's over there in Revelation 13. Now, if somebody claims to be an apostle or apostolic or have the apostolic signs, you have an obligation found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I think it was Alex Dunlap was a fellow that went to one of these ecumenical meetings, and where the priest was running the meeting, and Alex Dunlap was ball-headed, and so this priest told all these people in this ecumenical meeting that, you know, he has the power of healing, and if they would like to be healed, you know, give him his name, and he'll pray for them to be healed. Well, Alex stood up and said, yeah, I want to be healed. And the guy said, okay, that's good. He said, you'd like to be healed? He said, yeah, right now. I'm bald. Want some hair. Give me some hair. You know, and of course, you know, I'm sure the priest would say, oh, that's not sickness. You know, in other words, I probably could take care of it. Okay, but you know, that's how you make a fool out of these people. They say they can heal. Ask them to do it on the spot. You know, several years ago in the late 50s, Oral Roberts had a tent meeting. Tent blew down. A lot of people got injured. What did he do? Called the ambulance. Why didn't he heal them? Because he's a faker, that's why. He's a lying dog. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and how thou hast tried them. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Somebody claims to have apostolic signs and wonders. Have a little fun with them. Be a good time. They're lying. See? And if they could put on a show, you could put on a show. They could speak in tongues, you could speak in tongues. You just want to make sure you're the interpreter of the tongues. That way you can interpret what you want. You know, get up, and they're going to speak in tongues. Hashan tai tai bo tao. You get up and say, I have the gift of interpretation. You said you're going to give me $100. Now give it to me. Okay, I mean, they make it up, you make it up. The Spirit led me. They claim the Spirit led them. Well, it led me too. You see, and that movement is a movement that gets people to base their beliefs upon their own personal experiences. Long time ago, we had a couple girls, twin girls, that used to ride a bus, church, and I went to the house, was going to witness to the parents, and knocked on the door and told them, you know, they figured out I was from church, and then I said, I'm from the Baptist church, and then that woman got really mad. So somehow they invited me in the house. I don't know why, but we sat down in the living room, and she got talking about tongues and all this kind of stuff, and I just started showing them some things in the Bible, and she got so mad he threw a Bible on the floor. And I just looked at her, I said, see, your problem's not with me, ma'am, it's with God. That's what your problem is. I mean, fine, upstanding Christian, you know, get so upset to take your Bible and throw it on the floor. You know, and you see, what you're doing is you're exposing their lies. Well, she said, well, I just felt so good, it had to be right. A murderer feels good after he murders his victim. The initial feeling is a feeling of, you know, I conquered somebody, I exposed. Okay, but in this idea, when a person looks at the deception that's going on in America, the Catholic Church is one that deceives people through tradition, and the charismatic movement deceives people through experience. It was my personal experience. Now, maybe you had an experience. There's nobody in the Bible or throughout life that has a more authentic personal experience than the Apostle Peter. There's nobody that's going to beat it. You know, yeah, there's a woman down there in Kentucky that saw Mary, or Georgia, and Mary sees her, comes to see her. She only comes in a building when this lady's in the room. Yeah, somebody down in Kentucky saw Mary going through the trees. Yeah, all that stuff. Okay, but if you have a whatever personal experience it is, if that experience goes contrary to the Word of God itself, just chalk it up as either that's you or an unclean spirit. Either or. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about his personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes about it there in 2 Peter 1. And what he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, which is found in Matthew 17. They went up to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus was transfigured in front of them. Moses, Elijah showed up. James and John was with them. They're coming down from the mountain. And the Lord said, tell the vision to no man. Don't tell anybody what you saw until after the resurrection. Peter gets to write about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. He writes about that vision, and then he closes that vision out with this comment. He says, I have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, I've got something better than seeing the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured in front of me, than God the Father speaking from heaven, than seeing Moses and Elijah. I have something more sure than that. And he said, that's the Scriptures, verse 20 and 21. That's what's more sure. Why? Is because any of us can have a vision, and Satan can counterfeit visions. There can be counterfeit visions, and it can be so close because he knows the Bible better than any of us. Now, Revelation chapter 13, verse 13, the way he's going to deceive people is he can do great wonders. Verse 13, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So he can, at will, cause lightning to come down and strike someone. Several years ago, the Pope was in Ireland, and there's a Presbyterian pastor in Ireland that's a pretty well-known man in that area, and he speaks against the Pope. And I have no idea why WBBM happened to report this, but I happened to hear it on the radio that the Pope was in Ireland and security had to take out Ian Paisley because he was yelling the Pope was the Antichrist. And they put Ian Paisley in jail. Okay, and so Ian Paisley was testifying that if the Pope was in there, and instead of having to call security to take him out, if the Pope could have, on the spot, called lightning down to strike Ian Paisley on the spot, don't you think that'd be more effective than having security take him out? Well, that's the ability of the Antichrist to be able to do. So it'd be very convincing. They won't have to have one of them things they call holograms that they can project pictures in the sky, or they can project an airplane coming into a building, or they can do anything they want with these things, or they can take your photo through the digital cameras, or somebody else's photo, and then put your picture in there, make it look like it was you. All sorts of things it can do nowadays to deceive people. And it's not too hard to do, because it's Antichrist going to deceive the whole world. Revelation 13:13. How? By great wonders. He's going to have a deadly wound that's healed. Verse 14, he will deceive them by miracles. Remember that the Egyptian magicians could copy many of the miracles that Moses did until he caused the lice, the dust to turn into lice, and that's where it stopped. Verse 15, and they had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So a statue, an image, an idol, an icon. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause them, as many as would not worship the image of the beast, should be killed. Okay, so you go back to Daniel 3 and study Nebuchadnezzar and the image that he had. Okay, and that image is right, you know, the obelisk, if you want to call it that, a pagan thing. Okay, then verse 16, it says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. So slavery has not ceased. Free and bond. To receive a mark in their right hand, notice specifically, in their right hand and in their foreheads. Not on, it's in. And so, hey, they're already planning these things. It's already in the works. The mark card, M-A-R-C, computer chip, put right here in the top of the hand or right above the wrist, which is considered the hand in the Bible. These things are all in the making. Of course, it's for your safety. It's always for your safety. You know, when you read these things about 10, 15 years ago, I was thinking, who's going to allow them to put that in their body? Today, with all the body tattooing, body piercing, hey, they just put it right next to the other one. Now they got these guys taking these hooks and putting it in their skin and picking them up off the ground, and their skin is stretching like crazy. That's demonic. Okay, that's beyond flesh. People don't even, they wouldn't even think anything of it. Okay, so the mark in their right hand and in their forehead. Something probably more supernatural with that mark, something weird about that. Okay, and that no man can buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you got three items there. You've got a mark, you've got a name, and you've got a number. Now the number is obvious. Okay, the number's obvious, 666. That thing's squeaking. You can go in back if you want to check it. Okay, so the number's obvious, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The mark is different. Okay, the mark of the beast, if the beast is a leopard, verse 2, the mark on the leopard is the black spots. The black spots are often in the shape of a rosetta, which is the shape of a kiss. Hence, you have the secret XXXOOO, love and kisses. X marks the spot. So is that the kiss from the Antichrist himself? Okay, or is he dealing also with a computer chip? Now, I know people have thought for a while it's a social security number. No, that number is used for control. It's used for identification, even though it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a private thing. But, of course, things are much different. Okay, so this number, and the number 6, is quite prevalent. Okay, and so verse 18, the number 666, coincidence, found in verse 18, which is three sixes. And it's found three other times in the Bible, Ezra 2:13, 2 Chronicles 9:13, and then 2 Kings, I think, is 10:14. So here we have the number 666 found four times in the Bible, and three of them are associated with the number 13. So verse 16 and 17, okay, you're dealing with where a man cannot buy or sell unless he has the mark, the name, or the number. Now, is he going to be able to enforce this worldwide? No, you're going to have the black market. Okay, but in order to get rich, you're going to have that mark. Okay, now if you would try James chapter 5. This should help with the book of James. When you read the book of James, as you read through it, you'll notice that anybody who's rich is somebody who has no faith. And the book of James, or this letter to James, portrays every rich person dying and going to hell. They're deceived, they're condemned. They're the bad guys, and so to be rich during this time period, whatever time period James is writing about, is not a good thing. James 5, verse 1, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And ye shall be, shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together, or treasure together for the last days. Last days, tribulation. How do they get these riches in the last days? Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud. How do they get rich in the last days? Fraud. How does the Congress vote to, a package of $700 billion? Fraud. The Fed, it's fraud. This is how they do it. Okay, was it the CEO of Washington Mutual? He was hired to be the CEO 3 weeks before it was bought out. He did such good work, they paid him $19 million for 3 weeks' work. Fraud. You see, and that's how they're getting rich in these days. It's through fraud. That's how Dick Cheney's getting rich, through Halliburton. You see, and it's all fraud. You see, and so let them enjoy it now, because it ain't going to pay their way when they hit the judgments. Okay, and then if you search Dubai and see what's going on in Dubai, the playground of the New World Order, how are they getting this money? It's through fraud, every bit of it. Aren't you glad you're not on the end of recipients of the fraud? Got to answer to God for that? I don't know about you, I'm glad I'm not. Okay, and so back in Revelation chapter 13, this is how they control them, is through the banking structure. And eventually we'll get to a cashless society, because, they're always, identity theft, identity theft. What's going to solve that? Oh, you take a little chip under here. That'll take care of everything. Oh, what's better than that? Oh, we just have your account and your name, and we don't have any papers to deal with. No credit cards, no papers. We just discount it from your account. And so we have 100 units. And you get 100 units in your bank account, and how that goes. And then every time you spend a unit, we take a unit. So when you have 100 transactions, it's back to Zippo. The problem with fiat currency, the problem with paper currency, is that if you have too much, the fraud is made known. That's what John Maynard Keynes said. And so the key is to try to keep enough circulation in, but not too much currency in circulation, just get enough, just so that we keep the fraud going. Okay, and that's the Antichrist is going to be a master of. It's going to be a worldwide prosperity. Worldwide. As it was in the days of Noah, they were buying and selling and getting gain and marrying and getting married. Well, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, that's chapter 13. We'll stop there. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, thank you that we have a book that tells us what's going on in the future, in the near future. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful students of this book and not be alarmed by things going on and just be having our trust in thee and being patient, for your wheel of justice is turning. It just seems to be turning so slow, but I pray you'd help us to be patient and faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.